Good If It Goes. Welcome back to the Good If It Goes podcast. We've been out since the Super Bowl, but since football's back, we are ready to go. Tonight's show, your host, Shane, and I'm joined by Mike, Prentice, and Kelsey.
Back in this boy.
We're back. I forgot to say beautiful before my name.
The beautiful Mike. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, the beautiful Kelsey. we're back. We're ready. Football's back, so everybody's excited. Summer's over. It's time to start gambling and spending our Saturdays and Sundays in front of a TV.
Let's do it. All right.
We're going to kick it off with a little college football. Week one is in the books, and it was wild, to say the least. I mean, there was some crazy games, some upsets, you know, things that really nobody saw coming. So I want to know, Prentice, you know, after, and, you know, I'd like to call Prentice probably our strongest college football guy. His knowledge is probably the most extensive. He knows, you know, from the small conferences to the big ones. He has his finger all over it. What was your biggest takeaway from the weekend?
Man, my biggest takeaway was actually the fucking slander that I got when I thought the weekend was boring. I thought Saturday's games was a snooze fest, and everybody came at me like, shut the fuck up, what the fuck are you talking about? And, I mean, I thought the Houston and Oklahoma game was a good game, but if Houston doesn't fumble twice, I mean, that game should have been a massacre. The Michigan game was on prime time. I think Ohio State was prime time. Those were blowouts. The A&M game was good in the fourth quarter. You know, Wisconsin and LSU, I mean, Jesus Christ. The score indicates a good game, but it was sloppy. LSU can't do shit on offense. I was highly disappointed in Saturday. Now, going to Sunday and Monday night is a different situation. That's when shit amped up and got real, and we were really in for a treat with the Texas Notre Dame game and Florida State Ole Miss.
Mike, when you look at those two games, the Sunday night Texas Notre Dame and then the Monday night Ole Miss Florida State, you know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter say, you know, it's possible we're not going to get two better games than that the rest of the entire year. I mean, what do you think of those games, and tell me what you thought of the rest of the weekend.
Well, I'll start from what I last saw, which was Florida State come back from 22 down. I think Florida State is for real. I think they're definitely contenders to get back to the playoff. I mean, it's like the biggest comeback in school history for them. It shows where Ole Miss is and where they could be. So, Ole Miss, you know, they're a good program, they're a good team. But seeing Francois and see what he can do for Florida State over there, I mean, Jimbo got the guys going. I don't know if y'all saw Jameis Winston's halftime talk with them.
I saw that. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah.
That was real dope.
We need some dogs.
You know,
we ain't no puppies.
And then with Texas, Texas, Charlie Strong, that he needed that win, I believe. I think that's a program-changing win for Texas now, and that they've come back. And this is like the first time that they beat top 12 teams. I saw an anecdote. This is the first time they beat back-to-back top 12 teams, the first time since like 2008. So that shows what Texas program has been as far as competing at that high level. And I think this win gives them a chance the rest of the year, a big confidence booster for that program. And it'd be interesting to see what the Longhorns do the rest of the year.
Kelsey, what did you make of some of these games? Like the upset of LSU Wisconsin, you know, and Oklahoma Houston seem to be like some people's biggest story of the weekend. Like, is that how you saw it?
Well, I'm actually glad that you brought up the LSU Wisconsin, because I was actually going to say that. The fact that you held the number one running back in the country to that, you know, few yards, that's something to say. I mean, not even offensively, but defensively, they just showed up. As far as Oklahoma and Houston, I don't know if anybody was paying that close attention to college football last year, but Houston was real, and they're just going to continue to get better. So I just, you know, obviously there's a lot of sleeper teams. There's a lot of unranked teams. Definitely Texas is one of them. Charlie Strong obviously doesn't want to lose his job. I don't blame him. And, you know, Notre Dame's top 10. So it's week one, so the rankings are a little bit shaky. But at the end of the day, like, you know, you just can't sleep on the unranked teams. And I think that's just my biggest takeaway from week one is just pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Press.
I don't think that's the last we'll hear from Notre Dame.
I
was really impressed with them. I'm a huge Notre Dame hater, but I know Kaiser can ball, and I know that defense wasn't, you know, that wasn't the typical Notre Dame defense we've seen in the past, but Kaiser can put that team on his back and get as far as he can. I know they're missing some weapons, and Torrey Hunter got knocked out in that game. Hopefully he comes back. But I don't think that's the end of Notre Dame. You know, that was a tough loss on the road. You know, big game for Charlie Strong. I'm interested to see how they carry out the rest of the season and how they bounce back from that game.
You know, and one thing I want to mention, too, is you can't, you know, these teams with one loss are not eliminated by any stretch. You know, you look at the, you know, recent national champions. Alabama last year lost to Ole Miss at home.
Ohio State.
You had Ohio State 2 years ago lost to Virginia Tech. You know, you can't just look at, you know, these teams that lost that game and say, okay, they're done. Me personally, you know, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I feel like there's a team that's really going under the radar and kind of being disrespected. Nobody's really talking about them. Ohio State is... You know, everybody thought that they, you know, they lost Cardale Jones, Braxton Miller, Ezekiel Elliott, Joey Bosa. You know, people just thought, okay, maybe this is a little bit of a down year because, you know, I haven't seen Ohio State hyped anywhere. And, you know, they just quietly put up 70 points. I get it was against Bowling Green, but they have a date in 2 weeks in Norman. And that game right there, that's probably an elimination game. Like, you know, Oklahoma loses to Houston, and everybody says, you know, same old Bob Stoops, can't win a big game, they're done.
Man.
Well, if they take care of Ohio State in 2 weeks, then all of a sudden, you know, people are going to be back on the Oklahoma bandwagon. So I don't think, like, and, you know, something like LSU's loss looked terrible. Like, that looks like a team that could just completely fall apart, but... Like Prentice said, Notre Dame's going to be heard from again. Like they're not done. There's a lot of talent on that team, and they play good enough teams as to where they can still be relevant in the playoff hunt. You know, looking at this week's schedule, it's kind of like there's not really.
It's awful.
Yeah, like there's
real. It's the worst week I've ever seen in college football.
Yeah, like I'm just going up and down right now, looking at some of these games and these point spreads, and it's just like, you know, what is this? The premier game, you know, the Saturday night ABC game with Herbie and Fowler is Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech and Tennessee. Like, you know, come on, that's it. But anyway, the real story of this weekend is that the NFL is back.
Yes.
And we kick off tomorrow with the Super Bowl rematch. It's a little weird because there's a guy named Trevor Siemian starting for the defending Super Bowl champion Broncos. And for the first time since 2002, the defending Super Bowl champion to start off the season is an underdog. Carolina's a 3.5-point favorite tomorrow. You know, what do you guys make of that game tomorrow? Is this a bounce back from the Super Bowl for Cam? Because we know how the season ended for them. How do you guys see that game shaking out tomorrow?
I'm going to just go ahead and say, I think Carolina has it. I mean, they didn't lose anyone in the offseason. Literally no one. If anything, they gained somebody by Calvin Benjamin coming back. And also... You know,
they did lose. They lost Josh Norman.
Well, yeah, they lost Josh Norman. But if you think about like their front seven,
they were
seven,
willing to let him go.
Yeah.
If you think about their front seven, I mean, you almost can't even worry about their secondary because it's like their front seven is so good. And offensively, I just think they're just going to be unstoppable. Obviously, Broncos have a great defense. Von Miller leads that. But, you know, I think it's going to be a close game. But I also think Trevor may surprise a few people. But I still got Carolina winning.
Prentice?
Yeah, you know what? I got a feeling it's going to be a snooze fest. And the reason being is, you know, everybody's talking about Denver's defense, but Carolina's defense is pretty damn good, too. And, you know, this is, you know, Simeon's in his first game versus this defense. You know, I don't know how you prepare for something like that. I think it'll be a couple weeks before he catches his stride and he goes out there and he performs for them. I don't think it'll be week one against Carolina. So I think that's why that spread is looking the way it does. Because that's the only thing I can think of why they're underdogs in this game. And
Your point of it being possibly an ugly game, too, the over-under is 41.5, which in the NFL, you know, the primetime games, the overs, people are always betting overs because they want to root for points. So they inflate the numbers and make it higher than it really should be more often than not. And this one, they basically, 41.5 is a very small number for the NFL. I mean, they're basically telling you, you know, this has got 17-13 written all over it in a snooze fest. Exactly. Mike, what do you think?
I agree with what both of y'all said. Something to pay attention to also is that Denver only bringing back one starting lineman on the offense. And I think that's gonna say a lot. That's their center. But it's just watch them trenches when Denver got the ball. Because now you're being led by, you know, four new linemen and a new quarterback. He got the receivers there, but with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and use C.J. Anderson to line that passing attack too. But I just think Carolina is the more complete team. Kelce said it best. You know, they did lose Josh Norman, but they gained Kelvin Benjamin.
We can talk about Josh Norman being overrated later.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And we can we'll see what Benjamin does, like how much they use him. But I think it'll be a snooze fest too. Probably like, I don't know, 20-10 Carolina. That's what I say.
Yeah.
I got a question real quick. Do you guys think this is the worst returning Super Bowl championship team? On paper. We haven't gotten to games yet.
I mean,
on paper.
I personally, I thought they were overrated all year. We knew how good the defense was, but man, they just kept finding ways to win these close games. Mm. And I just was never high on this team. I mean, you know, I don't want to do the whole go back and pick apart every game, but man, if Toussaint doesn't fumble that ball, or not Toussaint, who am I talking about? Whoever the running back was for Pittsburgh in that Pittsburgh-Denver game, Pittsburgh controlled that entire game. And then the running back fumbled, and, you know, boom, Denver goes down and scores, wins the game. If they don't do that, you know, it's a wrap. And that defense, like, you're not going to see, in today's NFL, you're probably not going to see that again, where a defense is that good that they can just carry a average to below average offense the entire year through a Super Bowl win. Like, that's not going to happen in today's NFL again. So I'm selling the Broncos this year. I don't even think they're a playoff team.
That's fair.
I don't. We'll kick it right off from that point then.
Yeah.
AFC nice West. Segue. How do you guys see the AFC West playing out? Mike?
I'm excited to see the Raiders. A lot of people have been talking about the Raiders. I think we talked about that before. And people have been talking about them, see what's going on over there. That Cooper and Carr connection is something nice to see, and it will be for the next couple of years. But I'm going with the Chiefs. Their defense is what it has been the last couple of years, one of the top defenses. And I want to see what's going to happen when Jamal Charles is all the way back and if he can stay healthy. They're running back by committee right now, which Chan Kardrick West and now Davis and
Spencer Ware.
There you go, Spencer Ware.
Spencer Ware's the guy
who's actually been
that
the guy.
Field.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Who's actually been the guy who stood out the most They're going to do that until they get Charles back. So I think, like you said, you know, Denver, they don't bring back a lot. And like I just mentioned, their offense, I have a lot of questions about their offense because they have the skill players, but the linemen and the quarterback are all question marks. So I'm going with the Chiefs.
Prentice?
I'm going with the Chiefs too, but like I don't know about y'all. I know Shane's not, but I'm on that Oakland Raider bandwagon. Thousand-yard back.
He's a good enough back. Right.
That offensive line is real good, and then. I don't even want to talk about Khalil Mack. That's I would just stop there.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel about the guy. I can't even speak when I think of the man. That's how good he is. Be all pro at two different positions. I think he puts the team on his back again, and he makes a run for Defense Player of the Year. And I think they get in the playoff. I think they get in at 10-6.
Okay.
I think I think the Chiefs win the division, but I'm very high on that Oakland bandwagon.
Can we win for Oakland?
You're one of many. Like I've seen Oakland like all over the board. Like they're getting respect right now. Oakland's a 1-point underdog at New Orleans this weekend. I know the Saints aren't very good, but the Saints have for years now, ever since Drew Brees have been there, have been a really good home team. And they're always laying minimum 3.5-4 points. And they're only laying one. I mean, Oakland's getting a lot of respect. Like, that's kind of a surprising line to me. Kelsey, how do you feel about it? Are you on the Raiders bandwagon, too, or who do you like to come out of this division?
Honestly, it's really a toss-up. Like, I can't make a prediction for the AFC West because I think all four teams have a chance. I do like the Raiders. I think Derek Carr is the most underrated quarterback in the league right now, especially with Amari Cooper on your team and, like you said, Khalil Mack on your team. It's really going to be up to – I don't know. I think it's going to be up to, like, management because I think some of the play calls and some, like, you know, clock management with the Raiders was pretty, like, dumb last year. Because I watched them play a little bit, and I just remember myself saying, like, why would you run that? Or why didn't you call a timeout there? Or it's just going to be little nitpicky stuff, because I really don't think it's a team issue. I think it's more of a management issue. So
you're not a big Del Rio fan?
I'm not. Like, I think he, you know, as a head coach, I don't think – I'm not a big fan of him.
Yeah, all right, and I'm gonna roll with the Chiefs as well with you guys. I mean, that's the Chiefs are a really good team from top. Like, they're just a complete team all over. And you know, Alex Smith is who's somebody I have never really been a fan of. But man, he was good last year, and he's, you know, he has weapons around him like Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce, and like Mike said, to go along with that running game and a pretty loaded defense. Like they're the most complete team to me in that division.
Now, I do want to say, however, though, with the Chargers. I think they're going to be one of the sleeper teams this year. Phillip Rivers is really good. Like, I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves, to be honest with you. And now he has a receiving core. Like, he has Keenan Allen. He now has Travis Benjamin.
Keenan Allen is one of the most underrated receivers in the league.
Travis Benjamin, I thought Travis Benjamin was excellent at Cleveland. But... you know, he's with the Chargers now. So, I mean, you have Melvin Gordon in the backfield. Like, come on. Like, I think the Chargers are going to be a sleeper team.
There's a lot of people that are really saying, watch out for Gordon. He's fine. He's going to explode this year. Like, you know, last year, rookie year, he never got going. But that, you know, that doesn't really mean anything. You know, I agree with you about the Chargers. Like I wouldn't go as far to call them a playoff team, but they could surprise some people. I mean, Benjamin was good in Cleveland. He never had a quarterback. Rivers is damn good. Nobody likes him because he's a douche. He's a fucking douchebag. But he's a good player. And
yeah, that division is a toss up. It really is.
I'm not getting behind any of this Oakland hype, to be honest. Like I you guys all brought up good points, so I'm not going to argue with, because you're not wrong. I need to see it from Carr. I need to see that he can go win a game, not throw touchdown to Crabtree and Amari Cooper when they're down 17 points in the second half.
You know what? And I think that's where people have it confused about Oakland, because that is what Bortles did in Jacksonville.
You're right.
They got behind 10, 17 points. He was throwing yards and touchdowns to get them back in the game. But you go back and you look at Oakland's schedule, they got beat bad, I think, one game. They were in every game they played in last year. So I think that's why the hype is there, because, you know, usually a young team, they go out there, they get destroyed, they come back, beat somebody they're not supposed to beat. But Oakland was in every single game last year, and
yeah, the talent. I think the talent some of those close. Like I'm not. That was never my thing. Like I'm not denying that the talent's there.
Right. So he wasn't padding stats to get back in games. Like they were in those games, and I think some of those losses they turned to wins this year.
Okay. All right. Well, then we're pretty much all in agreement that the Chiefs are going to win that division. And so none of you guys have Denver even in the playoffs?
Maybe wild card.
I don't.
Maybe. And that's like that means that Oakland shit the bed, and so did San Diego. Well, I don't think San Diego is going to be close, but other teams that are close that we'll talk about, like whoever doesn't make it in the North, they don't do well. And I mean, it's going to be a lot that has to happen for them to make it. They have a really good defense, but I don't know. The defense took them to a championship last year, so I can see them making it to the taking them to the playoffs this year, but a lot has to happen.
All right, let's jump over to a pretty ugly division, the AFC South. The defending Jesus champions Christ. It's ugly. I don't think there's a single good team in this division. The defending champions are the Houston Texans, who picked up Brock Osweiler, and they had they had a good draft. They added Will Fuller, so DeAndre Hopkins finally has somebody else that can play on the other side of him. What do you guys see about this division? Because I think we all know that Andrew Luck is, by far the best quarterback in this division, but is he, is that good enough to get back and win this year, Prentice?
No. We did the same podcast last year around the same time, and I said the Colts would not make the playoffs because their offensive line is complete dog shit. 1 year later, the same problems present themselves.
Amazing that they couldn't address
It couldn't address it. I mean, you drafted Kelly in the first round, but he's hurt. The rest of the offensive line is still garbage. I think they're down like 15 defensive backs. They signed Antonio Cromartie off the streets. Like this team is terrible. They may go 7-9, and then everybody gets fired after this year.
So who do you like then to win this division?
Because I don't like nobody in this division, damn division. Right? I think 8-8, 9-7. It's gonna be Houston. Houston has, I think, the best defense. They're gonna have probably the best offense. Houston also added Lamar Miller to that offense. To that offense. So it's going to be tough beating them. I think Watt's back week one. Hopefully Clowney turns it on this year. I think they're the team to beat, and that's the only team to beat.
Mike?
Y'all know I'm a big Andrew Luck fan, so I'm going to have to say it pains me to agree with you, Prentice. But I don't think, like you said, with the draft of Kelly, you think it takes care of some spots on the O-line, but with him being out, it's just not going to be enough. He don't have enough time back there to get the ball away, and he's going to be constantly taking hits. Gore obviously showed us that he could still get it done last year, but that's on a losing team. So I don't have too much faith in the Colts. I'm expecting Jacksonville to be the darling of this division this year. I feel like it's their time. I think a lot of people are talking about them like they're talking about the Raiders, who we just got through talking about. I think Bortles shows why they spent the pick on him and why the hype was real. They have a really good defense this year. And my boy yelled in there. I think he's going to have a pretty good season this year. So just remember before the season,
you heard it here first. Yeah, if he gets off the bench.
Yeah, I think he's going to get off the bench. And I think he's going to have a good season this year. Just check me out. I called Jeremy Lane for last year, and he got out there, and now he's starting. So watch out for T.J. Yeldon. I feel like it's going to be his year over there. I like Tennessee because I like Marcus Mariota, and that's about as far as that goes. I think he's going to keep progressing this year also. And with Houston, I mean, they rolled the dice on Osweiler. I think Osweiler is going to be nothing. I don't think, Denver losing him. I mean, I think they're going into week one the same way they would if they would have had Osweiler. He's got the Bears week one. So we really will pretty much see. And the Bears had an improved defense this year, but we'll see, like, what he's made of, because the Bears aren't a good team at all. So he'll have plenty of reps. I think by week one, I mean, it's going to be the J.J. Watt show over there in Houston. They do have Lamar Miller, who really hasn't had a shot as a three-down back yet. So I think he'll get a lot more carries and probably have his best year. He'll probably have a career year there. But, yeah, I got Jacksonville coming out the South.
Kelsey?
Honestly, I'm going to have to agree with Mike, because Blake Bortles, I think, is another underrated guy. Obviously, he didn't have too much around him when he first started out. But the thing about the AFC South, I think the key word is new. A lot of people have been transitioned to different teams, so they kind of have to feel each other out and work with each other a little bit better. But I just like, I don't know, I like the offense of Jacksonville. You got, who do you have over there? I mean, Bortles, you have Chris Ivory's there starting.
Allen Robinson's another guy who's extremely underrated, phenomenal. Exactly. Player, 15 touchdowns last year.
Yep.
Allen Hurns is pretty good, too. Yeah. And Chris Ivory's now they're starting running back. And
Julius Thomas tight end.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, they have a lot of offensive weapons. I mean, their defense is pretty damn good, too. I mean, you got Jalen Ramsey, and you got Miles Jack. So, I mean.
Who has looked incredible, by the way.
Which is nice, because he was coming off that injury. You know, people just didn't know, and it doesn't seem to be bothering him at all, which is nice.
Yeah, I got the Jaguars. I mean, if the Jaguars don't produce, then I'm not convinced with the Titans just yet. Mariota's definitely a good quarterback, but I'm not convinced with Derrick Henry or DeMarco Murray in the backfield. Andre Johnson, I mean, he's getting up there, so he's not as mobile as he used to be. So I would have to say the Texans probably after Jaguars.
Me personally, I don't love this, but I'm gonna roll with the Colts. I'm just gonna go with Andrew Luck here, you know, hoping he stays healthy. I like what he has around him, other than, like Prentice said, the offensive line. T.Y. Hilton, Moncrief, Dorsett. I mean, they should score a lot of points. I mean, I'm picking Indy to win the division at 9-7. I mean, I'm not, which means I don't feel great about it. Certainly don't have any wagers on it. It's a weak division with some talent around those teams that are usually bottom feeders, like you guys said, Jacksonville and Tennessee. There is some talent there, but I don't know. We'll see.
I want to point out that Brock Osweiler is 6'8". Like, he may not be the most mobile quarterback, but he can see over everyone. So that bit, like, just his vision alone, I think is enough, you know, just to at least see the field. Like, you can see DeAndre Hopkins running down. Like, you can see Lamar Miller in the backfield. Like, they might not be the best team. Like you said, it'll probably be like a 9-7 or 8-8. But when you have a quarterback with vision like that, I mean, it's really fucking hard to fuck up a play. Like, it really is.
I'm curious as to why John Elway just said, okay, see ya. Go ahead, man. Yeah. Walk away.
I mean, I thought that was stupid, season, too.
And he's going into the season. There was a quarterback competition between Simeon and Mark Sanchez. And Elway...
Because he know what we haven't seen yet.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
I don't think he's that good.
Elway's no dummy. I mean,
he's better than what Houston had last year.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's easy to say. But like I said, I don't think Denver's any worse off than they would have been.
So oh no, yeah, no
Houston's
doubt.
Gonna find out the hard way, because they paid that man a lot of money.
I agree. I mean, that would be the big wild card for Houston. If Osweiler does turn out to be what they paid for, then they're clearly the best team in the division. And they're actually a pretty respectable team, because, you know, you like them outside of the quarterback position. Nice defense, you know, nice weapons on offense. They did pick up Lamar Miller.
They picked up Vince Wilfork, too. That dude still got some gas in the tank. Like, I don't care what anybody says. They got Braxton Miller at wide receiver.
I know it's early, but, you know, they're raving about Clowney. I've heard that this is the most hype we've heard in 3 years about Clowney preseason. We haven't nobody's talking about an injury. They're talking about how good he looks.
Remember last year in the beginning of the season, I asked, was he a bust? And you know, so maybe it's going to take us another year to find out.
Yeah, I remember saying, you know, it's certainly heading that way because he can't get on the field. But you know, let's see, let's hope. All right, let's go to the North. You got defending champion Bengals. You've got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and the RG3-led Cleveland Browns. Mike, this division is always tough, and it's always between three of the four teams. Who do you like here?
I'm going with the Steelers. I think it's going to be very close, and I think three teams from this division have a chance of moving on. I think the two wild card spots can come out. I think Baltimore is going to improve this year. They're not going to be as good as Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati stays as good as they've been, and Pittsburgh continues to get better. Once Le'Veon is back all the way, they're going to be one of the best offensive teams. You know, last year we killed their secondary on here. But, I mean, they have so much talent on the offensive side of the ball. The Browns, I don't think, are an option at all. I think people are going to watch the Browns to see what RG3 is. That's it. I mean, we watched it for Manziel the last couple years when he was there, and now we're going to watch it because of RG3. They're going to sell a couple tickets, you know, until they're fucking 1-3 to start the season or whatever. But they're not even in the running. But I think I'm going with the Steelers, and I would say Cincinnati will be close. And if Baltimore improves, as I think they will, then they'll be in the running for that second wild card spot.
Kelsey, how do you see it shaking out?
I like the Bengals. I'm a huge AJ Green fan. I'm actually a huge Tyler Eifert fan, too. Like, I think he's probably one of the better tight ends, like top five in the league right now. I personally, with the Ravens, I'm not convinced. Like, I'm not convinced at all. I think Joe Flacco's a good quarterback, but I don't think he can carry a team that far. That Super Bowl win that they had a couple years back, I just always thought was fluke. So I'm going with the Bengals, just because of their offense.
Prentice?
I think it's a two-team race, and that's really what it's been recently. I think that's what it's going to stay. I got the Steelers. And the reason I have the Steelers is, I mean, Kelsey, you mentioned A.J. Green, but I think that's their problem. They didn't add a second receiver to take pressure off him this year. Eifert's been hurt. I think he's out. I think he's going to miss the first few weeks.
Yeah, he is.
You know, they don't have somebody on the other side of him that can stretch the field or make plays. You know, so teams are really going to key in on him. You know,
but they do have Tyler Boyd, though. Tyler Boyd is decent.
Yeah, and he's the name that everybody's throwing out that, like, he has to be their number two now because they lost Marvin Jones to Detroit and Sanu went to Atlanta.
Right. So now you're looking for a face that's replacing those guys. Like, who can step up? Are you going to be by committee? But you still are going to need somebody on the other side that's going to take pressure off Green. And you know, like Mike said, we hacked on the Steelers, you know, secondary. But I think the past two drafts they have really attacked that area. But everybody knows you're beating Kansas, you're beating Pittsburgh by outscoring them. How can you outscore Big Ben? And I don't think anybody in the league is going to do that this year.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much echo everything you guys just said. You know, a few interesting things about Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. You know, we all wondered last year, you know, Cincinnati pretty much dominated the whole regular season. And we said, okay, is this going to be the year that they get a playoff win? Is this going to be the year Dalton gets over the hump? And, you know, we got screwed because he got hurt. And, you know, McCarron came in. And then Cincinnati had the game won. And they still choked it away by just being complete, you know,
stupid
losers.
Niggas.
And, you know, it starts with Marvin Lewis. I just don't understand how the guy still has a job. I mean, any other coach would have been hacked already. Like, you don't win in 3 years now. You get fired in the NFL. I mean, he's been there, what, 12 years, and he hasn't got a win? I mean, the talent's there. There's no question about that. And A.J. Green, Prentice, you brought up A.J. Green. He is going to get he's probably, he might break a record this year for amount of targets. I mean, like you said, they lost two good receivers, and now they got Boyd. I mean, Green is going to get, he's going to earn his money this year because he's the number one guy on that entire offense. It's not even close. I mean, I don't really love their offense at this point. Jeremy Hill and Bernardo, okay. Eifert's good, but he's hurt. And you have one really good receiver. I think Cincinnati takes a step back this year. I think Pittsburgh wins the division. You know, I hear all this about Le'Veon Bell. How about D'Angelo Williams? Revitalized his career last year. He was awesome.
Yes.
He was absolutely awesome. Now, it helps the kind of offense that he was in the, you know, high power passing. But, I mean, I don't see a huge difference for wins and losses if you, you know, if Le'Veon Bell gets hurt again and it's just D'Angelo Williams in there, I'd feel fine with him. He could start on almost any team now. I'm going to roll with the Steelers, and I could see them being the one seed in the AFC. I'm really high on them this year. All right, well, that leaves us with the AFC East, which is the New England Patriots.
We can skip that one.
The New England Patriots Invitational. Guys, we do this every year. Everybody does this. If this is finally the year that New England doesn't win, who does it?
Nobody.
Nobody. I agree. I mean, I think, I don't think it matters that Brady misses four games. I think they'll probably go 2-2, and, you know, when Brady gets back, they'll go on their usual run, probably finish 11-5, and win the division. Anybody disagree with that?
What's crazy is nobody in that division did anything to get better. Like, I don't think anybody added a significant piece.
Buffalo got worse. Buffalo actually got worse by hiring Rob Ryan as defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That's going to be a trend. That is going to be a epic disaster. A Buffalo team that 2 years ago people were saying up and coming, you know, look at this defense, you know, people were really, really starting to like them. Then Marone leaves. And they bring in Rex Ryan, and now you could just see this thing heading south.
Yeah, I don't see no other reason to not pick the Patriots. Only thing worth really watching, Devontae Parker over in the Dolphins. If you play fantasy and you drafted by now, hopefully he's on your roster. He broke out real good last year, late in the season. And I think he's going to be exciting to watch also. So, check out Devontae Parker. And now Adam Gase is over there from the Bears.
Yeah.
And I was a fan of his while we had him here. Think his offense is going to turn up a little bit over there. So, Devontae Parker, you heard it here.
He hurt right now, ain't he?
I don't think so.
Is Parker hurt?
I think he's okay.
Is he out?
I think he pulled. I thought he pulled both his hamstrings the other day. I don't know how the fuck you do that, but I thought he pulled both his hamstrings.
Is he out?
He might be. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
I mean, the Jets really weren't horrible last year. Like, they were 10-6 last year, if we being honest. Like, and I really just hope Eric Decker can just be that, like, standout receiver over there. Because I mean, Brandon Marshall, yeah, of course. But I really like Eric Decker, and I think that I don't think he was used properly in Denver. But I think that now that he's with the Jets, I think they're a little bit more keen to throw to him a little bit more than Brandon Marshall. I personally obviously think the Patriots are going to win, but I wouldn't sleep on the Jets. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, I could see the Jets fighting for. I could see the Jets fighting for a wild card spot. I mean, I'm high on Todd Bowles. I think he's a really good football coach and. Like you said, there's talent around Fitzpatrick on the offense there. They picked up Matt Forte. Lyle Powell's the other running back. I mean, yeah, they got a nice team. Solid Jets, defense.
I think every game but one game, the Jets were like within a score of.
Yeah,
I think it's like one or two games, they lost by more than one score. They were in every game, and they were right outside the playoffs. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm really high on the AFC North. And I don't know if they'll be able to get postseason play. So, I mean, they might be able to sneak in there, though. And they picked up Forte. Of course, I'm a Forte fan for sure, and Marshall. But, I mean, I just can't believe in a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led team, man.
I'd be shocked if two teams didn't come out of the North. like whoever doesn't win the division between Cincinnati. Even though I think Cincinnati takes a step back, I still think they're a wild card team. I think, you know, when you look at that second wild card, you know, you're talking about teams like Denver and the Jets and, you know, Oakland, I guess you could say. It's that, it's the AFC, like, you look around the entire AFC, I don't see any dominating teams. I just see a bunch of decent to good ones. I think the NFC is definitely the stronger conference. I mean, I think Pittsburgh's the best team in the AFC, but, you know, they can give up 30 on any given Sunday. Their defense isn't that good. It's going to be a fun race. All right, let's jump over to the NFC. We'll start with the NFC East. I know we have...
Oh, my God. That's another one we can skip.
I'm going to let Kelsey kick this off because I know she's a Cowboys fan. Romo hurt again. Kevin Schrader still a virgin. The sky is still blue. How do you see this division playing out?
Oh, gosh. Honestly... This is not a biased answer, but I really have us winning the division, and I say that because
it's not a biased answer.
Come on, like, we picked up Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott looked great in the preseason, and I know that preseason you cannot judge, but if that's the only option that we have, I'll fucking take it. Like, it's, you know, my quarterback gets hurt every season. You know, it's the same bullshit over and over, but I think people in Dallas are just ready for a fucking change. And I think the team realizes, like, okay, this is our opportunity. This is our change. We're getting Scandrick back. I mean, hello, we have Dez Bryant. Like, it's just, first of all, our offensive line is a fucking, like, Berlin Wall. Like, I could run behind the offensive line and get 10 yards. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I personally just think that we're going to win the division. It's not going to be a high record. It's going to be like an 8-8, 9-7, whatever. Shit, hell, it might be 10-6, but I'm reaching. The only other team that I really see as giving competition is the Redskins, and I hate that I'm saying that, but I mean, Kirk Cousins, I'm not going to sleep on Kirk Cousins. I don't have faith in the receiving core. Aside from Jordan Reed on the Redskins. So I don't really see them putting up a lot of points every game, but their defense may hold a lot of people. So it's going to be between us two.
Mike,
you like that? You like that?
Trash.
You like that? Washington Redskins. The Redskins, they smoke and mirrors because they didn't beat a winning team all last year. But they have, now that Romo is out, the best quarterback, I think, playing right now in the division. Eli, that's my boy, but I like Cousins more. I like Cousins more right now. And fucking the Eagles with Wentz. This is one of those, they must know something that everybody else doesn't fucking know things, because I don't think he's going to be good at all. I think that's one of the worst picks I've ever seen. So I hope he proves me wrong. But I got the Redskins doing their thing. It's going to really rely on Cousins. He needs to have an even better year than he had last year. You still got D-Jax, Jordan Reed. I like Doxson as well. I see them going 9-7 again.
Oh, I forgot about Josh Doxson. Yeah, he's hurt, though, right?
I'm not sure if he's hurt. I'm not sure if he's hurt. But, I mean, they went 9-7 last year. I see them going 9-7, 10-6 again this year. They got the AFC North, I think. So it's gonna be L's through that AFC North schedule. But other than that, the East is weak again. So I don't see no reason, especially now that Romo is out. Prescott is unimpressive to me. So I mean, they have a crazy O line, and my boy Zeke is back there. I think he's gonna have a good rookie campaign. I really look forward to it. I thought it was a questionable pick at first, but then it started to make more sense to me. And then seeing him in the preseason, he had some pretty good touches. So, but I'm going Redskins.
Prentice?
Both of you guys are wrong. You're wrong, and you're very wrong.
Well, the damn sure ain't the Eagles. So,
I'm gonna tell you why you're wrong. one, the winner of this division is going to be the New York Giants. And we talked about teams that added players and needed to add players. Nobody won the offseason more than the New York Giants. Not only did they add two corners in Eli Apple and what's my man out of I can't think of his name.
Janoris Jenkins.
Then you added a pass rusher in Olivier Vernon out opposite of JPP. They're going to get after the quarterback. And then the sleeper was Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma at wide receiver. And you're getting Salsa guy back. They have, I think, the most complete team in that division. Now, granted, with that being said, 9-7, I think, wins this division. I will piggyback off Mike. I think Washington, you know, peaked last year. They didn't beat anybody. And I think they get one of the harder schedules this year. And I think that doesn't play into their favor. I'm not a fan of Kirk Cousins. I don't think he can lead them, at least this year, past 8 wins. It is a contract year for Garcon and Deshaun Jackson. So I think one of those guys are going to get off. And I think the other one's going to struggle. So I think we will see Doxon more. I think I'm more intrigued to see what Dallas does, but I think it's the same old story. You're playing with a backup quarterback. Teams are going to load the box up, so your quarterback's going to struggle. And it doesn't help the fact that Dak's a rookie. Then they didn't do anything on defense to get better. I mean, and we know that defense is god-awful. To be honest, I don't see 6 wins out of Dallas.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't see 6 wins. That defense is awful. Awful. And, you know.
I can't disagree with you, Prentice. We are bad.
It's real bad. I mean, like you said, you get Dez back, but what if Dez don't catch a ball for a week? Or what if he doesn't have a touchdown for 4 weeks?
He doesn't have to. He's another guy
that can't stay on the field.
Yeah, he can't stay on the field, and he's emotional. Now, I know everybody, you know, they compare his emotion to Tom Brady's, and he's a bad locker room guy, and Tom Brady's a leader and all this other shit. But sometimes, as a receiver, when you blow up and you acting a fool on the sideline, it does look bad. And people don't want to hear that shit. And when you lose, then people really don't want to hear that shit. And I think they're going to have a lot of those issues this year in Dallas, and I think it's going to be a bad year for them. I'm really interested to see how Eli can play with what he got, and I think they can make a run. I don't think a Super Bowl run, but I think that's a 10-6 playoff team.
I personally want to see Malik Collins, since we talked about
defense. No comment
on
the Eagles.
So I'm going to completely agree with Prentice here, and I wrote a blog about this a while ago. And the one I back up everything you said, and one thing you didn't mention was the biggest addition that the Giants had this year was actually subtraction. They got rid of one of the worst coaches in the league, in Tom Coughlin, who is absolutely clueless. And I've been saying this for years, okay? You know, and all the people ever want to do in these ESPN hacks and, you know, these media, oh, well, you know, he's got 2 Super Bowls. He was, in these last couple years, was by far, I'm going to call him the worst coach in the league, had absolutely no clue how to manage a game. We saw it last year in the very first game against Dallas when they failed to call a timeout on the 5-yard line. They had that game iced up and they blew it.
Yep.
And there was countless other times this happened too. The game passed him by, guys tuned him out, and he had no idea how to manage the clock or do anything anymore. Now, that's not all his fault. Eli Manning should know better than that too. But I'm honestly using that as part of the reason why I like the Giants this year. I mean, when you get a new voice in there, it rejuvenates guys. And, you know, you look at the rest of this division, it don't take much to win. Now, I've been on this since June about Washington. This team is a complete fraud. They went 9-7 last year in what was a horrible division. Did not beat a single team with a winning record all season. And it gets better. The schedule was so bad that they only played 2 teams that made the playoffs, Carolina and New England. They lost to Carolina by 30. They lost to the Patriots by 17. Not to mention getting blown out at home in the playoffs by a mediocre Green Bay team. You want to look at their schedule? Look at this. Look at how tough the schedule is this year. They go on the road to Baltimore, Cincinnati, Arizona, and Detroit. Then their home games outside of the division, Minnesota, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and Carolina. Where do you,
those are all losses.
Where do you see Arizona, where do you see 8 or 9 wins there?
I think that
where
Arizona do you see 8 or 9 wins at the end of the year too. So Arizona going to be playing for something probably at that point too.
They could very well be playing for a top seed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate this team.
Well, that Arizona game is week 13. Carolina's week 15. Now, they may not be playing for much, but, I mean, you got Green Bay in the middle of the year, Minnesota middle of the year. I mean, you got a four-week span where you're at Detroit, at Cincinnati, Minnesota, and Green Bay.
Another stat that jumps out to me, too, about why Washington's in for a big-time regression is, you know, as bad as the schedule was last year as well, they only outscored their opponents by 9 points. Which was like, for all the playoff teams, like that was the lowest, and it wasn't even remotely close. Like they were just an extreme lucky team to make the playoffs, and there's no way that's going to be replicated. So yeah, I'm rolling with the Giants. All right, let's move over to the NFC North. My Packers, a wild card team last year, which is weird to say because we own the North, and you know, wild card is, you know, what is that? That's kind of like makes you want to throw up. Minnesota, obviously a very good team. They lost overrated, mediocre. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater to a grotesque injury, traded for Sam Bradford. Guys,
wait, did you just say he was mediocre?
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, yes, he's the definition of mediocre.
I wish you could see my face right now.
I'm not buying that.
I don't.
This don't have nothing to do with the black quarterback. Say it, Mike. The black QB.
The black QB.
But, I mean, he was very accurate. He's always been accurate. I mean, the guy didn't put up huge numbers, but that's not what Minnesota wanted to do last year. He's a young player, you know. A lot of check downs, a lot of, you know, move the chains. You know, I'm not ever expecting Teddy Bridgewater to put up 4,000 yards.
Okay.
But I also don't ever. I don't ever expect him to throw 20. I don't ever expect him to throw 20 interceptions in his career either.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, but what? Why is it such a huge downgrade to go from him to Sam Bradford for what that team does, for what that team does to try and win? Why are people thinking that Minnesota can't win now because they have Bradford and not Bridgewater? Somebody explain that to me.
Because Bradford don't play 17 weeks. He's never done it. He can't do it. He can't stay healthy. And when he does look healthy, you know, he'll flash brilliance every once in a while, and then he's same mediocre bottom-of-the-barrel quarterback. I mean, the guy was awful. His quarterback rating was awful. He was awful. He wasn't a good quarterback.
And I'm not some Sam Bradford apologist, but let's just look at the facts here. He's never had a top-10 running game. He's got the best running back in the league now. He's never had the wide receivers, the weapons around him, the overall team that he will have this year. He's stepping into the best situation he could have prayed for. I mean,
I agree.
Everybody knows that. I'm saying, my point was, is when this trade broke on Saturday, I was on Twitter, and you know, everybody all of a sudden is just making fun of the Vikings, whatever. As a Packers fan, I was not thrilled with it. I would have much rather that they went into the season with Sean Hill than Sam Bradford. I mean, I just think that, you know, when
Minnesota played Sean Hill. They played him.
Yeah, I mean, when you put all the factors together and you put Bradford in this offense where he's not going to be asked to go out and, you know, do what Chip Kelly asked him to do and, you know, what other teams need their quarterbacks to do. I mean, I hate the term manage the game. I think it's a boring cliche. But Bradford's just in there, don't fuck up and lead the offense. You don't have to be Aaron Rodgers. You don't have to be Tom Brady. Like, that's a really good team. And I was not happy with that trade as a Packers fan. Mike?
Yeah, well, this is Green Bay's division to lose. Yeah, they were the wild card team, but they were without their best skill player, in my opinion, with Jordy Nelson, and he's going to be back this year. And now that Calvin Johnson is gone, between Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, I mean, it's a toss-up who the best receiver, who's going to have the best year as a receiver in this division. And that all comes down to Aaron Rodgers and getting the ball to them guys. I mean, Jordy Nelson being out, that was huge. And I'm a Bears fan saying this, but just keeping it real, that was a big loss for them, and they still managed to get in there.
I mean, I'm going to go with the Packers, too, but like we were just talking about, Sean Hill got played. Like, I watched him play at Maryland, and I'm not a Maryland fan by any means, but I guess I'm a little bit biased just because I'm from Maryland. And I thought he was very good at Maryland. And when I heard that Teddy Bridgewater was out, and I the first thing I thought was, oh, shit, Sean Hill about to get his shine. Next thing you know, Sam Bradford come through. I'm like, oh, like they played him. Because I think, I don't know, I just think Sean Hill would be a way better fit for the type of offensive weapons that you know, the Vikings have. Like, he didn't really have a lot, too many big receivers at Maryland, but that boy can sling the rock. Like, let's be honest. So I'm a little disappointed at that. That's just more reason to pick the Packers.
You know what? Everybody always talks about how they hate their job, they hate going to work, you know, all this other shit. They hate their fucking boss. Can you imagine being a backup quarterback? You watch your franchise quarterback get hurt. In your mind, you're thinking, oh, shit, I'm about to get my shine on. And then the very next day, they trade for somebody else. You're like, man, fuck this.
Yeah, seriously.
Fuck
yeah.
These motherfuckers.
But don't most backup
are you fucking serious?
But don't most backup quarterbacks in the NFL, like, shouldn't that just be like a, you should be happy where you're at? You're not good enough to start, so you're not going to get big dollars. And you're like, Chase Daniels making $7 million this year. I mean, don't you, like, just say, all right, hold the clipboard. If somebody gets hurt, all right, I guess I'll go in. But just kind of enjoy your life. You're not the one getting your ass kicked every single Sunday. I mean, you know, Sean Hill is... The Vikings knew that they had to try something. You can't... And that trade basically told you, too, that Teddy Bridgewater's probably going to miss 2 years. I mean, that they didn't just give up a first and a fourth for a one-year rental on Sam Bradford and said, okay, we'll be back with Teddy next year. They know that. That has to be it, right? I mean, it just wouldn't, yeah. It wouldn't make any sense for it not to be. I'm rolling with the pack in the division. I'm high on my team this year. We just did something really weird the other day, cutting Josh Sitton. You know, as surprising as it was, you know, the national media doesn't seem to understand that Ted Thompson doesn't give a shit what you think, what any Packer fan thinks, what any coach thinks. He has a system, the way he does business. He's done it his entire time in Green Bay. It's been mostly successful, so you can only question him to a point, but that's just what he does. They were not going to re-sign. Josh Sitton's going to be a free agent going into after this year. They were not going to re-sign him, so they said, okay, let's just go with our youth now. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm not sitting here crying about it. I think he's a good player, still a good player, but... Green Bay's overall talent is enough to win this division and win the Super Bowl. You got Jordy Nelson back. Our secondary is looking as good as it has in years. I mean, let's go. Aaron Rodgers, you know, who everybody kisses his ass around the league. You know, he's so good at this, so good at that. I don't care what Jordy was out last year. He was as bad as everybody else. He was bad. Like, they're, you know, he still put up numbers, but believe me,
he was bad to his standard.
Exactly, like, yeah,
like he still put up pretty good numbers. He was just bad to his standard. Like, we weren't used to seeing that Aaron Rodgers. Those numbers Aaron Rodgers still put up last year was a top 10 quarterback.
I need to see. He just did. I need to see.
He didn't look like that. He didn't look like
right
the old Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and you know, Eddie Lacy in a contract year. It's funny what happens to guys when they get in contract year. Oh my God! All of a sudden he's in shape and he's looking good throughout all camp. Well, let's see that play in the league.
He turned in his cheeseburgers for Boca Burgers, veggie burgers or something. Because that boy slimmed down.
He did lose the weight. So.
Yeah, I got the Packers coming out. Yeah,
we all agree with the pack in that division. Let's go to the AFC South. Does anybody even think that anybody can challenge Carolina here?
No.
Who's second? Who finishes second? I'm going with Tampa.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if it was Tampa Bay.
I'm gonna go with that too.
I think Atlanta's a 5-11 team, and what once was Matt Ryan, you know, one game away from a Super Bowl, is, you know, like one of the bigger stories now. He's a coach killer, and he's gonna get. it's over. It's over for Matt Ryan. It's over for Atlanta. That whole thing is done. They have one good player on the entire roster, and that's Julio Jones.
Okay, so we all take Carolina. So how are y'all buying or selling them 12 wins or over?
I would have to look at their schedule.
I'll say over because I think they're just going to roll through that division. Like, I mean, they're not going to, you know, they'll go on the road and probably win. You know, the only team that they could lose to maybe is at New Orleans, but they're probably 5-1 at worst in the division.
Not Arizona? Oh, you're talking about just within the division?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just meant within the NFC South.
Yeah, because they got the AFC West on their schedule, and I legit think they can go 4-0 against those AFC West teams, and then I can see 5-1, like you said, within the division, and the only loss, like only game, like I wouldn't bet on them would be the Chiefs and maybe Seattle, and I think that's a home game too. Oh, no, it's at Seattle.
At Seattle, week 13. I could easily see. This schedule is very, very soft, considering what they done last year. They could easily go 14-2 without a problem.
I'll go 11 or 12 wins. I mean, you expect some things to regress. I mean, it's just so hard to go back-to-back winning that many games. I mean, a lot of things have to break right for you in the NFL. You have to avoid big injuries. I'll give them 11, 12 wins.
Okay, so here's another question, because this is pretty much a dead horse, this division. How good is Kelvin Benjamin going to be this year?
Honestly, from what everything I've gathered is that Funchess looks way better than him right now. You know, it's a slow recovery for Benjamin. He has not looked very good in the preseason. Now, you know, granted, it's the preseason, who cares, but, you know, for a guy coming off ACL injury after 1 year, it's, you know, somewhat interesting. Like, they, you know, that team flowed all year. They just kind of kept plugging guys in. And, I'm definitely interested to see it, but don't be surprised if Funchess ends up being the number one guy on that receiving core.
That's a win for them if that happens. If they're struggling to get Benjamin going and he's their number one and, you know, then issues could arise. But if Funchess is looking like the best, considering how good Benjamin is and what he can be, that's a win for them. So, like I said, I think it's going to take a bit for him to come back off that injury, probably get back in ball shape if he's not already. He might see less snaps early in the season, but I think eventually he gets back to himself.
That leaves us with the AFC West. NFC West. Pretty much, obviously, a two-team race.
What happened to this division, man?
Remember a couple years ago? Well, you remember, like, maybe 5-6 years ago when this was the worst division in football by far?
And it was the best for, like, a four-year
stretch. And then, boom, it was, it just turned up so good in the, like, two, three years ago when Seattle won the Super Bowl. And now it's like, okay, there's two really good teams and two trash ones. Arizona, Seattle, who do you guys favor?
Well, go ahead, Prentice.
Who you got, Mike?
I'm going Arizona. I thought, and I said on this podcast last year, I thought Arizona was going to be the Super Bowl rep from the NFC. I don't see no reason why that can't be the case again this year. Carson Palmer played his ass off last year. In the regular season, correct. And he played his ass off last season. And the only reason why nobody talks about it is because Cam Newton played his ass off last year. John Brown is somebody who I really like his game. And got Fitz over there who's looking like, you know, he's going to be between that second and third option with Nelson and Michael Floyd over there. And David Johnson, he's doing his thing too. So
David Johnson might be right now might be the best overall running back in the league.
Yeah, he doing his thing over there. Defensively, you know, they got a lot of leaders over there. So glad to see the Honey Badger doing good over there, man. I love watching him. If he fully healthy,
need
man.
Need him to stay healthy.
Yeah, if he need fully healthy, man, healthy. That's going to be he's going to be a really nice anchor to their defense in the secondary there. And he still got Pat Peterson over there, and we know what he does. Only person, I mean, the Seattle brings back their defensive line. They still got Russell Wilson, long little black QB. Thomas Rawls, who gets a lot of yards when he gets a lot of touches. I like him over there. And then Lockett. And if you play fantasy last year, Ricardo Lockett, I mean, Tyler Lockett and what
Doug
the fuck's
Baldwin.
The guy's name? There you go. Doug Baldwin and fucking Lockett. Those, like, they were locks the last couple of weeks of fantasy last year. And I think Baldwin will ball out again, definitely. And I think Lockett will be a good pickup, late round or free agent pickup when they get into the meat of their schedule. So I'm going Cardinals with Seattle probably making the playoffs in a wild card spot. And I do have a burning question about this division, and we can get back to it. But why is Jared Goff not on the active roster of the Rams?
Because he's not good at football. And I think
I mean, I think the Rams
found that out, and they're going to find out the hard way when this is all said and done.
Yeah, absolutely true. I've told y'all this before the draft. I'm like, that kid is terrible. That kid is overrated, like, and they are making a mistake drafting him. He is going to set them back 4 or 5 years. Now, Todd Gurley can slow that process down a bit, how good he is, but that's a mistake, man. Ain't no way in hell you're the number one overall pick, and you're listed inactive for the first game of the season.
That's
unheard of.
Insane. It's just insane, especially on a team that doesn't have expectations to win.
Yeah, you already don't need to have a good quarterback on your roster.
Yeah, it's...
That's crazy.
It really is. How do you see the division playing out, Prentice?
I think it's Seattle. I think Seattle makes a Super Bowl run this year. I actually think they probably win it. Russell Wilson looked awesome last year, and I think he takes another step. I think it's an MVP-type season. I don't know if he wins it, but he really got down last year, took the team by the horns and said, this is my team now. This is how we do it, and that's how they did it. Arm and legs, you know, he led them, you know, with Lynch being out. And I think he carries that momentum into this season. You know, like Mike said, him and Baldwin really, I think Baldwin is one of the more underrated players in football that nobody gives credit to. He really took off last year, and I think he only continue improving. And like I said, I don't know. I don't see many teams beating them this year.
Kelsey?
I hate to say that, though. I really do.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Prentice. I'm going with definitely Seattle. And I mean, this is kind of a reach, but Alex Collins is so good. Like, I think he's not going to replace Marshawn Lynch. Like, let's be real. But he's definitely going to be a threat in the backfield. Alex Collins is really good in college. Like, I think I remember hearing something. His first game, he ran for like 280, and I was just like, "Are you serious? Like, coming from an SEC team, like that's unheard. Like, that's unreal." So, you know, offensively and defensively, Seattle's really good. The sad part about the Rams is they have a team, but they just have no quarterback. And obviously, when you don't have a quarterback, I mean, it's not much you can really do. So, I'm going with Seattle too.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, too. Honestly, I think losing Marshawn Lynch is actually a good thing for Seattle. Now it allows them to say, okay, this is Russell Wilson's team. We're going to open the playbook. We don't need to be balanced anymore. We got this guy that we're just going to unleash. And there's some underrated receiver talent, like you guys mentioned, with Lockett and Baldwin. They're going to get Jimmy Graham back. And, you know, they're going to try and implement him even more in the offense. And obviously that defense is still loaded. Yeah, I think this is a 12-4, 13-3 type season for Seattle. And, you know, Arizona still obviously has the, you know, all the talent. They got everybody back. But Carson Palmer's a year older, and as good as he was in the regular season last year, man, like in those playoff games against, first of all, against Green Bay, he was absolutely atrocious. I mean, he almost single-handedly blew that game for them, and then he was also terrible against Carolina. You know, is that was that the sign of a dead arm? Was that the sign of a 37-year-old that's just, you know, put it together for during the regular season, and then that was it? Now, it helps that there's, you know, the team is good. And I don't know. I'm not sold on them because of him. I don't know. I don't think that he can duplicate what he did last year. And if that's the case, you know, that's not going to work because it's going to take at least a minimum 11 wins to win that division. So I'm rolling with Seattle. Mike, when it's all said and done, who is playing in the Super Bowl and who wins the Super Bowl?
Ooh, my way too early prediction is a rematch from some years ago. Pittsburgh Steelers, Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. Who wins?
Pittsburgh Steelers. All things being well and healthy, they have a great offense, high scoring, high power offense. And I think everything falling into place for them. They have the best chance of winning it all this year.
Prentice.
I got Seattle in a rematch with the Patriots. Mm. We get another classic game. I think Seattle pulls it out this year.
Kelsey?
Man. I have no idea. Like, I really haven't even thought about who would even go to the Super Bowl, but if I had to choose, I'm definitely gonna say the Panthers.
Well, you do have to choose.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say the Panthers and probably the Patriots.
And who wins?
Well, I'll give the Panthers the benefit of the doubt, because if you go twice and lose twice, I mean, just kill yourself.
I am going to go with also a rematch. I'm going to go with New England and Green Bay, and I am going to say that New England wins and Tom Brady tells Roger Goodell at the podium after the game to go fuck himself.
You know what? That's like so cool a scenario. I ain't even mad at it, and I hate Tom Brady. But if he did that, that would be great.
All right, before we wrap this up, I just want a complete hot take from each one of you about this season. Give me something crazy that's going to happen this year, a bold-ass prediction. Kelsey, give me something. What's going to happen this year that nobody else is predicting?
That no one else is predicting?
Yes.
I'm just gonna think Jared Goff might surprise people.
Okay.
He really might. I mean, I know he's not on the active roster right now, but there's no way that the Rams are gonna fucking start Case Keenum. Like, come on.
Okay. Mike?
Jacksonville wins the AFC South and gets a first round win.
Okay.
And that's with TJ Yeldon getting the start and going for
okay,
900 Prentice? Yards a year.
Josh Gordon comes back and he explodes. Goes for 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Wow.
Well, goddamn, and who thought on the ball? Shit.
My take actually has something to do with Josh Gordon's team. I am going to say that Hugh Jackson makes RG3 look like what he was his rookie year again, and RG3 wins Comeback Player of the Year, and Hugh Jackson wins Coach of the Year.
Can I give a hot? Can I give a hot take? Because I'm editing. I'm currently editing Forrest and Kevin's NFL preview. Can I give a hot take from each of them?
Please do.
All right. So for Forrest, Forrest believes that. Sorry, wait. I just lost my place. Okay, Forrest believes that the Redskins are going to win the NFCs.
Of course.
And.
Well, he's a Cowboys fan, so I got to give him credit for even admitting that.
Still a hot take nonetheless. And Kevin believes that there will be a Super Bowl rematch between the Patriots. Sorry, I keep losing my place. He thinks the Steelers will win, basically, the Super Bowl. So, that's another hot take.
Okay, you fat fuck.
Yeah, well, that pathetic virgin used to be... His new thing is he's a Bears fan now because he can't be a Bucks fan anymore because... And let me explain his game real quick. He's been a Bucks fan, but he didn't... First of all, he wanted them to draft Johnny Manziel instead of Mike Evans, which shows what a moron he was to begin with. Then he wanted them to take Mariota instead of Winston. So now that Winston looks good and, you know, Tampa's on the right track, well, he says to himself, okay, well, I can't, you know, root for this team while I'm out there and all these guys make fun of me for not wanting Winston, so how can I do that? So I'm just going to drop them to begin with and claim I was a Bears fan all this year. He's a fucking loser, virgin piece of shit.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for the first Good If It Goes podcast of the 2016-2017 NFL season and college. We bring it all here. We will be back next week to recap the weekend games, and I hope you enjoy.
JT Barry for Heisman, motherfuckers.
Knowles, baby.
Knowles, baby. Yes, tell him, P-Jack.
Knowles, get at us. Good If It Goes.